Good morning, listeners. Welcome to today's edition of Uncommon Awareness. Welcome to our twice-a-month roundtable. Evolving the Species is a regular offering of Uncommon Awareness that includes my esteemed and brilliant co-hosts, Anne Rosen and Dean Lloyd, and you can learn more about them by visiting my site, drhurley.net, or going to, for Dean, acutone.com, or amlifegame.com. We're really privileged to have here with us tonight Vinnie Eastwood of the vinnieeastwoodshow.com, The Lighter Side of Genocide. Vinnie is based down under in the exquisite land of New Zealand, although he'll tell you it's not much different down in New Zealand than it is here in the United States of America. His program runs worldwide 2 hours a day, and you can check out his site for your time zone. Vinnie is not doing what he does to wake people up. He's doing what he does to give those with a voice for truth the exposure and platform they need. He lets those that should be talking, should be heard, tell their stories so that you, the listener, can for yourself, based, you know, can think for yourself based on real and relevant information. He's on a mission to replace the disgrace of the mainstream media, which our listeners already understand is nothing more than a tool of manipulation and control, with the truth. And then he takes it on with gusto, humor, and by the way, humor is going to be our topic tonight, and no pulled punches. Then he says, frequently, if the mainstream media won't do their job, don't fight. Let's just replace them because they're no longer relevant. You know, you want to go to his site, the vinnieeastwoodshow.com, and listen to what this young man has to say. He's leagues ahead of most of us that have been around for a few decades more than him. So the show is a daily dose of comedy and conspiracy. It's the lighter side of genocide. We have to kind of laugh at what's going on, don't we? He brings top activists, researchers, politicians, journalists, intelligence agents, artists, radio hosts, musicians, editors, and business people out in the open because if we want to understand what is going on in this world, we go to the experts, the ones they don't want you to know about. Hello, Vinny.
Hello. That's probably the best introduction I've ever been given. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
The last introduction I got was from Jack Bud, and he goes, he's got a funny accent. Now, I thought I was funny because of my wits and my cleverness, but it turns out it's just a speech impediment.
No, Vinny. Yeah, that's you know, unfortunately, even the alternative media has some challenges. You're delightful, and your humor is very, very apparent, and I want you to know I'm grateful for you. And I am a good friend of Karen Tostado and Matt Navarro of United We Strike, and Dean and Am are really heavily invested in that. But this is the time in the program when I turn it over to my esteemed colleague, Dean Lloyd.
Vinny, we're going to get to know you a little bit in this hour, and we're prepared for it.
Excellent.
Yeah, excellent, because we want your perspective. You're talking to three practitioners, doctors that have a background in looking at people that come to us with problems, physical problems, spiritual problems. They don't know what to do. You have a show that identifies a lot of what the world's problems are facing. I've heard for years how people tend to get mired down by what's the problem. And you've got a talent, you've got an ability to sort out and say, you know what, this is so obviously clear to me how ridiculous it is that nobody else gets to see it. And you'll find that when you do bring it up, you bring up people that are, you know, you say it to them, they may be timid, fearful, in something that you've confronted. You know, you've taken on the action is required position. What I'd like to know for you as a talk show host, but there's something you said in one of the United We Strike programs that got me interested in your perspective in a deeper level, which was how you drew people to you. In other words, you recognized that the police that you were confronting when you were, you know, holding picket signs or making a stink about something, they were people too. You know, it isn't so much an us versus them kind of situation we're in. We have to recognize what tools we have available for communication, and you're making use of them. What I wanted to hear from you is because the last I don't know, maybe it was the last several months, you've made a major growth spurt and what direction that you've taken. So I just wanted to get a little overview of, first, what you started out doing and where you're headed now.
Well, I guess I started out, interestingly enough, listening to Alex Jones, and then I started looking. I was like, is there an Alex Jones of New Zealand? There isn't. So I was like, okay, is there an alternative media of New Zealand that actually goes out and covers these New World Order topics? There isn't. Is there a talk show host in New Zealand, anybody at all, who does 5 days a week and exposes the scumbaggery of the New World Order as it pertains to New Zealand? There isn't. So I decided, not because of a choice, but because of a lack of options, I had to become that person. Because I recognized the fact that Americans were doing the bulk of the fighting against the New World Order on behalf of the world's behalf. You know?
Nice or good at something.
I know. And I didn't think that was really fair to a degree. I mean, I know that there's people everywhere fighting and what have you, but it's kind of like if a tree falls in a forest and nobody's around to hear them, did it really fall? And my philosophy is kind of like, if an activist protests scumbaggery and nobody records it or uploads it to YouTube, did it really happen? And the answer is, in most cases, no, it didn't, because nobody ever heard about it. And the only way it can ever actually have a true effect is if many, many people hear about it. And I see all these activists around me who are protesting things like the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement, which is the NAFTA or GATT of our time, which will bind the oceanic region into a corporatocracy that we've not yet seen before through this stage of history. None of those protesters really get much of a mention. There was a 1,000 people at the very least marching down the main street of Auckland, and leaders from political parties all across the stripe speaking, and it was on the 6th page of the newspaper with 3 lines describing it. I did 8 videos by myself with 2 camera angles, because I can hold 2 cameras at the same time, because one of my listeners bought me a shoulder-mounted bracket, with wireless microphones and a wireless megaphone as well. So not only was I there chanting and helping the protest actually appear more lively through injecting my voice and making all the protesters laugh and stuff as we're marching, but also recording each and every one of the speakers and publishing their speeches in their entirety to YouTube. Now, nobody else in this entire country, there's 4 million New Zealanders currently living here. There's 5 million total, about 1 million Kiwis live abroad. And not one, with the exception of myself, takes personal responsibility for ensuring that these people who dedicate their lives and give their blood, sweat, and tears to my freedoms, I'm the only one who ensures that their voices get recorded and for posterity, more or less. Because once it's said, it can never be unsaid. And I don't know precisely how to contribute best other than that. The way to contribute to make a positive difference is that you do nice things for good people who can't do those things by themselves. All these activists are researching and everything like that. I'm not a researcher. I can't do that stuff. They can't film themselves. I can. They can't edit themselves. I can. So I do it. It's kind of like you walk into a situation, you analyze it, you figure out what the problem is, you figure out which mechanism in this machine of resistance is missing, and then you slot yourself into that position. And that's more or less what my goal is.
And indeed, you do insert yourself in a variety of different situations. You've made personal stances in your own country on all kinds of on police matters, on the health food or health of food, I should say, how government is handling themselves. One of my favorite words, Vinny, is obvious, and you're exposing what would appear to you to be the obvious.
Yeah. And scumbaggery.
Yeah, there you go. Right.
I agree. Yeah.
And I have
good word scumbaggery.
Right, and but it's not our as an informed group of people that you usually will find that there's the direction of the people that are making the protest, they're very loose-ended, or they're not clear on, they may know that there's a bad thing happening, but they're not solution-oriented. In other
they're
words,
they're stirred up, but they're not steady.
And I know that that's an issue that you probably have come across, have you not?
Well, one thing that the New World Order taught me is that they've got their hooks into everything. So if you've got particular problems with, say, activists in the United States who will go out and they'll protest something that's regarding civil liberties or what have you, but they don't mention the New World Order, right? I figure if you want to mention any issue at all today and you don't mention the New World Order, you're not covering the issue, right? Because that's the central thing that actually ties it all together. And this is my belief, that if I am just covering everything that I can, what was my, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Guerrilla media, we cover everything, the mainstream media doesn't, so you can imagine we're quite busy because they don't cover anything.
I hear you.
I'm in total agreement. Dean and Am know this from my background, so I'm just going to interject here and say, I get it. I get the frustration of actually trying to assimilate information when the obvious first cause with everything else in the world being in effect isn't acknowledged. So I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's an enemy. It's what we would refer to as an aim to the absurdity. And in right. other words, things that are paid attention to have really no relevance, or if there's any relevance, it's so remote to our lives. It's pretty, and there's an intent behind that, and which brings us to what are the media matters, which I will bring Am in next segment and get his take on it.
That's right. We're going to break, listeners. I want to thank you for being with us. We really have a privilege of being with Vinnie Eastwood, who's doing down under, who's doing in New Zealand, what Alex Jones. I'm not a big fan of Alex Jones. He doesn't have to be part of this conversation, but we have to admire what Alex accomplishes in terms of information dissemination. And we'll be back in just a few moments. Welcome back. We're going to cruise through this show today. If you missed the first segment, we are here with Vinnie Eastwood of the Vinnie Eastwood show.com, The Lighter Side of Genocide.
Oh, by the way,
yeah,
that's Vinnie with a Y, because it's the most important question, and Eastwood as in, go ahead, make my news.
Clint, nice to have you here with us tonight. Oh, boy,
well, thank you. I got a fistful of dollars and a...
And nowhere to go.
Well, what we learned in the first segment, listeners, what we learned in the first segment is that Vinny is inspired by Alex Jones and the influence that Alex Jones has here in the United States and the activism occurring in the United States. Now, I'm not even going to go off on a tangent with that, but I will tell you that he's taken the inspiration to heart. He's creating for himself in New Zealand and around the world an Alex Jones persona. It's Vinny. But he's basically accepted the universe's in his face. This is what you need to do. He's gone on to produce an incredible program. And we were talking, we were going to bring Am in now because Am is our savant. Am is our consciousness expert. Am is our, Am's wonderful. Yeah.
and on Media Matters, that's the question I have for Am. What's the matter with media?
Well, it's a good question, Dean. Let me say that Vinnie embodies that lyrical phrase from Bruce Springsteen's song, speak from the dictaphone and hit them in the funny bone, because that's where they expect it least. And as long as we're... I thought of a few lyrical refrains that might be appropriate for our topic today. So let me quote another one for you from John Lennon. I've been across to the other side. I've shown you everything. I've got nothing to hide. And still you ask me, do I love you? what it is. All I can tell you is it's all showbiz. That's kind of what we're talking about. You show me your biz, I'll show you mine. What is the business of social interaction? And how do we communicate it? Because communication is commerce. And right now, you know, we've gone from smoke signals and tom-toms, some people are still using them, to, in a very short amount of time, telegraph keys pounding out Morse code, to pictures, silent pictures, to radio transmitted over the airways, to television, movies, and now the internet. And the whole idea of communication, it's the meeting place. You may still live in one small area, but our consciousnesses are taken up with what's happening not only around us, but all over the globe. But most people don't know quite what to make out of that. And we're talking about one of the things I thought we'd be talking about today is comedy is a way of, you know, dissecting or breaking down some of the blockages that exist for us. And I'd like to make a distinction to start off with between comedy and, laughter and tears. Tears are a visceral response. They're an emotional response. Whether you're crying for happy or you're crying for sad, it's when you're overwhelmed. Something wells up in you you haven't been able to express. It has a lot to do with actually the metabolic organs, because we keep a lot of tension in them. We don't realize it by not expressing our feelings. So sometimes you got to release that. If it's something terrible, you have to release the sadness. If it's something wonderful, you got to release the joy. But laughter is a whole different response. Laughter is an intellectual response. We laugh when the implications of circumstances are more than we can mentally handle. A simple example of that would be the comic who does a pratfall, walks across the stage and slips on a banana peel. And, you know, he's obviously clowning around. We laugh. But what's involved there is a person who's in danger of hurting themselves, maybe killing themselves, a person who's clumsy, a person who's an object of ridicule. That's something that everybody faces within themselves. Am I good enough? Am I smart enough? Am I adequate to deal? And do I get my share? Suppose I'm not. Suppose people come down on me, laugh at me, and I'm isolated and deprived. Well, we don't want to look at that because we don't know what to do with it. So it builds up a kind of a mental tension. So we laugh. Now, when we see politicians, we see people making all kinds of statements. We see behavioral psychologists hired by lobbyists and people that want to get their way across, making all kinds of points. And what they've been trained to do is play off of the unresolved confusions in our psyche.
What they've been trained to do is play off the unresolved, you know, issues of our psyche. Listeners, we're going to be back in just a few moments. We're going to let Anne continue. Really has some profound insights into humor. And you know what Vinnie Eastwood does is he just exemplifies the lighter side of genocide. How can we possibly laugh at it? He does.
Usually through crappy puns.
All right, listeners. We left off with Anne beginning to share his thoughts and his brilliance with what's actually going on in terms of communication, the media, and we're just going to let him take it away.
Well, thank you. And we'll add a few things and we'll jump around. But I was pointing out that the comedy is basically an intellectual response. You cry when you're emotionally overwhelmed, happy or sad. You laugh when the implications of circumstances, you don't know how to ward off the threat they imply. You hear somebody points out, maybe a John Stewart, that the absurdity of another, the media crew on Fox, you know, their bellicose howlings about something, and he shows the absurdity with a series of clips. And you're laughing, but what you're really facing is a society that's out of balance. That people are busy hard scrabbling to make a living, to just get by. They don't have a lot of information. They're being barraged and overwhelmed on purpose. And when you see it, I like to define comedy as the truth told with a sense of timing. And you have to laugh to break the intellectual tension of it. And that's a release. just kicking that around, if we're going to get into media a little bit, another lyric I thought would be appropriate to quote is from a song called Dirty Laundry, Don Henley. We got dirty little secrets, dirty little lies. We've got our fingers in everybody's pie. We love to cut you down to size. We love dirty laundry. We can do the innuendo. We can dance and sing. And when we're done, we haven't told you a thing. We all know that craft is king. Give us dirty laundry. So what we're doing, and what, a lot of I like what Vinny is doing, is he's bringing some of his dirty laundry, which needs to be cleaned out, aired out, and brought into the public's view. The problem is, what do you do with it? Once you recognize that there are a lot of interests that are short-sighted, they have power, but they lack the comprehensive understanding to make things work in the best way. They only know, no matter what they've accumulated or what they seem to have skill in, they really don't know how to handle things psychologically in terms of everybody's best interest. They're still working from the who's got the biggest cudgel approach. And these days, the bank account is the biggest cudgel. And it's good to see these things exposed. And comedy is a beautiful way of doing it. You can cut them down to size with comedy.
And also, in the case of Vinny, in how he's delivering the message, people pick up confidence in the way he does. He's not fear-mongering, because that is a technique. And mentioned, we were talking about a break earlier, how what we want to do is release the grip of fear on people. And I'm sure that Vinny's aware of how he's doing this.
Oh, yeah. My philosophy is, just because you're being exterminated and enslaved by a bunch of ruthless criminal sociopathic scumbaggery doesn't mean you can't have a few laughs.
Indeed, then you must be aware of your audience and how you tune into them.
Well, my audience, I try to speak to all the time on Facebook, Skype, and email and everything. And it's kind of like, how can I describe this? I would say, arrogantly, if I may, that my audience is usually about twice my age. Between the ages of 40 and 65, about maybe 70% of my audience are about that age, about 30% female. And I would say that they're probably one of the most intelligent, accepting, and moreover, empathetic and humorous audiences in the talk radio sphere that I've ever come across. And you have to be, because my show will chase you away if you're not prepared to have a laugh, if you're not prepared to listen to things that sound crazy, and if you're not prepared to suffer the emotional trauma of knowing for real what these activists actually go through.
I'm glad that you brought up that emotional trauma piece, because it takes a lot of energy to put up, first of all, what is it that is an appropriate yell back or a call to a heinous crime? You know, how is it appropriately positioning, you know, either a group of people or even doing it on the radio show? How do you effectively get the solution out there? What is the way of directing what the problem is into a state of where you have some ability to make something change or do something about it? And you know as well as we do is that it always comes where change is immediate. It comes from the inside out. It's not going to ever, you know, it never comes from the outside in. There may be weather changes. We were talking also about how, you know, that weather's changing so abruptly right at this time, that there's bound to be radical shifts in the way that we are living. And whether it be where the food comes from, where the floodings are, the droughts are, which we're in Colorado right now, and how we modify our life around those things. Those things haven't changed, but now it's escalated.
Well, this, and, oh, sorry, continue.
Well, it's escalated, but when you are paralyzed by fear, or where you're in a position of saying, oh, there's nothing I do about it, so I don't give, you know, a damn, and that's it. You know, there's nothing more to do about it. But what's happening with people that have sight, people that are in tune, and I love that word in tune. It's part of my work and my book in Accutone. But the love of the word is also knowing the versatility of the word. In tune with your who's telling you what, you'll be able to decipher, as you do pretty well. Your discernment's pretty good there, Vinny. And what's being told you that's you know, a pile of crap, or it's something has merit. And weeding that out, what we need is people that are in the field right now of educating, is we have the ability of discernment, or we should be more capable on picking out what is valuable information in the media and really what doesn't have, you know, any value whatsoever and is intended to actually distract or distort or take your power away. To empower people means to take a clear, if you're focused enough, if you're able to understand what the problem is, you can pick apart anything. Are you following me?
Yeah. Well, there's a number of elements that I actually wanted to kind of explain here as well, because there's some good points that you're making. It's kind of like, what's the point of my show in terms of the comedic aspect? Well, look, anybody can wake up to the New World Order in any way, okay? If you wake up to the corruption in the church system and the pedophile rings or whatever, you'll wake up that way. If you wake up to the what's behind the green mask in Agenda 21, you'll wake up that way, and so on and so forth. Because there's infinite conspiracies, there's infinite ways to wake up to them and infinite ways to explore the connections. That's actually just step one. Realizing that everything that you've done in your entire life has actually been BS for a system that you never even understood even existed. That's really depressing. So that brings you on to step two. Deal with it. Learn how to deal with it, man. Some people commit suicide. In fact, Mike Rupert from thewilderness.com committed suicide. What was it, last week or the week after? That really made me feel terrible. I wept. I cried. I never got to interview him, and now I never will. His was the very first documentary that I ever saw when I was a student at university. The Truth and Lies of 9/11, his presentation, that was the very first thing that I ever saw that was actually connecting the dots and looking at the conspiracy. He learned it long ago. He'd been shot at, and he spent the last days of his life studying Fukushima and climate collapse and the collapse of society. Not exactly the least depressing topics you could ever conceive of, and boom, shoots himself in the head. Okay, this is what happens to us, all of us, if we don't have that perspective. This is why I interview so many different people from so many different walks of life, across every different subject and spectrum, because I know that if I start to get that tunnel vision, if I start to actually worry and perpetually add on more and more layers of stress and frustration onto the fact that I'm already a frickin' slave to debt and scumbaggery and what have you, I would probably hurt myself, and I would probably hurt others if I was a radio show host in the process, not helping people to deal with that stuff. Which brings you on to step three, learning how you, not everybody, because everybody says that they've got this we thing, oh, like, we need to do this, or if everybody didn't vote, or if everybody did vote this way, or something like that. Frack everybody else, okay? What are you doing personally? What is your skill? What is your mindset? What is your hobby? What is your past? What is your history? These are the things that make up the man or the woman that you are, and only you have that unique combination of elements that can contribute to this very fight to make a difference in the way we live in perpetuity, more or less. I want to have a permanent effect because I realize my power, because the people who I speak to in my daily life are people who know who they are as well. This is how I figured out how to make a difference, is to be sort of like the back line of the war. In the front line, you got people going out there with the megaphones and doing the protesting, doing all the research and what have you. Those are what I consider the real jobs in the truth movement. The back line, which is very important, don't misunderstand what I'm saying here, but the back line, us in the media, it's making sure that those people who go out and do the real work get heard about, and also if they get damaged in the process of learning and knowing what they know, then it's our responsibility to help them deal with it if their perspective is out of whack. You see what I'm saying? Now
I do. What I hear is responsibility towards the collective. I heard it very plainly. First of all, deal with your own self, your own consciousness, your own responsibility, your own ideas, beliefs, whatever.
Deal but it's really hard to do that doing it by yourself, though. I mean,
that's
you,
right.
You always
that's,
need
and then what I heard is join forces with a collective because there's a synergy. There's a synergy that elevates everything.
To a degree, may I just finish? I have only one more thing to say. There's a quote from a movie called Starship Troopers. Figuring things out for yourself is the only freedom anybody really has. Use that freedom and make up your own mind.
We're going to break. Very intense conversation. Love it. Hope you love it. We're going to come back in just a few moments, and I'm going to let Dean kind of reset the course here. I have several questions, and perhaps I'll get a chance to ask them. Thanks for being with us, listeners. We'll be right back. Wow. We're moving. We are moving so quickly through the ether, through the deception, through the lies. We're moving in a way, listeners, that I hope you appreciate. We have a really extraordinary opportunity here. This is great stuff. And I'm going to turn it over to Dean once again because I want him to keep the conversation moving.
Indeed, Lorraine. Indeed. I have got a question for Am that when Vinny was finishing up there, he brought up the question that we had before about how a public, and grossly stupid in a lot of ways, much of the masses, and I'm not saying that in a criticizing way, it's just they're not aware that there's other ways of viewing things outside of media issues. But what they do play on is unresolved issues in us. How are we being directed? What is the motivation, and how is media playing off these unresolved issues, Am?
Yes. Well, okay, we have a inadvertent mass conspiracy of ignorance-generated, short-sighted, expedient compromises. And in other words, we have a system, both on the individual level and on a mass global level through every society, of imbalance. And where you have excesses here and deficiencies there, and the system can't run in harmony for the overall process. And most people live in apprehension of that. You know, they're bombarded with all kinds of possible economic collapses, no jobs, you know, diseases that are impending, wars, invasion. But there's nothing new in this. This is just part of the human condition. But all these things we do to try to break the tension, to get a little pleasure, to identify ourselves, to verify and validate, vindicate ourselves, come down to state of mind. So we're acknowledging you can't get out of a trap till you recognize there is a trap that has to be gotten out of. If you accept the trap as normal, then you adapt around it, which is what most people are doing. But once, what I'd like to give people, and I think that's what we talk about on this show, is I would like to give them the means to break free of all these age-old inherited subconscious bonds that have them so locked up and dizzy that are draining their energy, making it hard for them to function, to where you need the comedy just to blow off some of the tension that's accumulating in you. I'd rather see them laughing in joy. I can't believe it. Wow, that's so amazing. Rather than, huh, okay, yeah, wow, that's a little threatening. You know, if I say to you, gee, I'm really miserable and depressed and sad, you might get a little tense. I don't want to hear about that. But if I say, you know what I mean, as I said, comedy, the truth told with a sense of timing, then you laugh because, oh, yeah, I know what you mean. But the thing is, I always tell people when they come to me, I'm not going to make you aware of the things that hurt you, that, you know, are making you compromise, that threaten you, unless I have the skill, the technique, and the understanding to help you quickly and functionally resolve these things so you can move on. And I think that's the point of the comedy and the brilliant work that Vinny is doing, is to make the public aware that there's something there. Don't become fall asleep, but it's a threat. You're asking them to look at the things that hurt them, that scare them. So what I want to do, and I think what we all want to do in our various ways, is give them the means to attain what they want. So that they, whether they're in the midst of activity, you know, or whether they're partying or whether they're just sitting alone, they feel good. They feel clear. There's always more. Rather than getting away from something, which is one part of health, you know, you want to get away from the problem. It's hurting you. The other side is, how good can you feel? How safely and effectively can we up the ante? How much can we enhance the vitality, the mental clarity, and so that we can relate to each other, not from a place of, well, you know, if you do what I want, then you're a good guy. You get to wear a white hat, and if not, you're bad. All that childish nonsense, because that's a low level of development, to where we feel so comfortable and secure, we can move in and out. We can open up and exchange and really start to make things happen.
Listeners, we're wrapping up the first hour of today's program of Evolving the Species. We're here with Vinnie Eastwood, vinnieeastwood.com, The Lighter Side of Genocide. We're talking about humor. We're talking about how one man in New Zealand has actually managed to capture the attention and the imaginations of millions. We'll be right back.